Fast forward to this pandemic, this crazy wild year, and I would want to say this. I would want to say, embrace the platform that was given to you. This is not my preference, but I can still show up for somebody else. I can still step in and learn something new about someone. I can step in and learn something new about myself. And so as we embrace the different opportunities to connect virtually or on the phone, don't hesitate to take advantage of that.
You're listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, sharing our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, click the link in the show notes or visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Freeberg, and today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about how we are adapting, specifically around three areas of investment, modification, and learning. Brian and Linda Schubring, our president and vice president, spent some time reflecting on all of the ways our business has changed over this past crazy year. They have found that, you know, there's some things that have remained the same, some things that have just been consistent, but a lot that hasn't. And so as we have adapted and grown and changed the way that we deliver our products and services, primarily via Zoom, we thought that it would be helpful to share just a little bit of what we've learned through the process. So Brian and Linda take over the podcast today. And so it's really fun, and it just gives you a little bit of insight into maybe behind the scenes at Leadership Vision, but there's also some valuable stuff, some takeaways here as you think about how you continue to operate in this virtual model for what seems like is going to be the foreseeable future. And if you have questions about this, what we're doing, or anything else, or if there's really anything that we can do to help you to build your team, to build up the individuals on that team, or the entire organization, please send us an email to connect@leadershipvisionconsulting.com. We would love to talk with you, even just to maybe bounce some ideas off of one another and just try to be helpful in any way that we can. All right, here is Brian and Linda Schubring. Enjoy.
We are adapting. When COVID changed everything 1 year ago, our goal was to provide the next best thing to being in person. And we made the adaptation. One of our clients remarked, "Your personalities translate well through the video format." So we've been busy, and everything has gone virtual, from team training and development to our one-to-one conversations and even executive coaching for people leaders. Zoom has become our delivery platform. And our skills in virtual facilitation have created highly interactive and professional personal experiences.
Our data has also shown that intentional, individualized professional development is needed now more than ever. Additionally, we continue to research how people build connection, how leaders are navigating change, and how executives are adapting to the pressures of this current marketplace.
So if we talk about this adaptation that we've made, I would say that we are investing. It started with an investment.
So what we've done over this past year is we have continued to analyze the marketplace. And what we've done is we've noticed an increasing interest in the ongoing investment in teams. Now, to be honest, I thought at the beginning of COVID that that may not continue, but we have found that people are continuing to make investment in teams. But the difference is that there has become a growing focus on professional training for senior and executive level leaders to prepare them for leading in these challenging times.
Not just to check a box, not just to say, oh, let's still get in our professional development, or budgets are tight and so we can't do it actually, but okay, where are we at? What do you need? And how do you invest in the leaders that will help lead us out of this?
Another marketplace indicator for us is, and this is what I'm somewhat impressed by actually, is that we have seen again and again how executive leaders have continued to practice like this leaning back, and we'd call it like zooming out and asking them, what are we needing long term? I just have this feeling that we're seeing more long-term planning than we have in the past. And in that long-term planning, these executive leaders are asking themselves, how do we actually lead long-term with the conditions that are before us economically and what conditions are before us relationally. So that to me is a real critical shift that we've noticed and that we have responded to with our key clients.
And we've noticed from the middle managers that they are noticing what it takes to actually be an executive, actually take the reins that way. And that's been interesting. So to watch them reflect and think about, oh no, this is what our people need. They're a little bit closer to the main workforce. And so oftentimes these middle managers are providing a nice bridge.
That's a good point, Linda, because that is so true. The middle managers are the people that we would call the people leaders of those teams. I really see them as like stepping up into a greater responsibility than they have in the past because they know maybe more firsthand, maybe I could say, how people are really struggling.
Because it's not just coaching. It's not just like, hey, get in there and do it. Hey, step up. Hey, lean in. All the catchphrase. You stand there and you're like, I don't even know what that means. What do I actually do? And it's kind of this pandemic. All things 2020 have helped us, and we're like in the 15th month of 2020, have helped us reconfigure how we even want to lead moving forward and how we will tangibly help some of these people grow into the leaders of tomorrow.
I think another way that we have been investing is how we're investing in individual leaders. We've never spent so much time with senior level leaders, investing in them as individuals as we have in the past 12 months. There's so much of how we've modified our professional services that have allowed us to be with these executive leaders when they're not with their teams and to be able to talk with them person to person about their struggles as a leader, as well as some of the changes in behavior that they're seeing in the people that they're leading. And so we've been able to really provide this personal, super customized, individual focused behavioral influence or coaching actually that we've never had before.
Because it's a lot of listening, a lot of, oh yeah, another client said that too. Yep, we're just triangulating a lot of the data that we are collecting, and it's helping people feel a little bit normal, not as crazy, that they're actually maybe equipped for this more than they thought.
Yeah. One example of that is Linda and I were doing an executive coaching session with a gentleman, and he was talking about a person on his team and how he's kind of seen the de-evolution of some of her behaviors over the past several months. And he was kind of drawing a blank as to why this was happening. So we just simply asked him, like, well, what's going on with her life? And I guess he didn't realize himself how much he was aware of what was going on with her personally. He just hadn't connected it together yet. And then once he understood that, he had a much different, perhaps compassionate perspective on where she was coming from and realized that he may have been, you know, leaning too hard, you could say, on, you know, what he was asking of her.
Another way that we are adapting is that we have modified everything. We have modified and enhanced all of our services, from the new content for team engagement and for our podcasts, to even the Train the Trainer model for Strengths Communicator training. We are ready to launch our third virtual cohort.
Yeah, one of the ways that we modified our services was basically deconstructing everything and asking ourselves, how is this going to come across on a virtual platform? Now, we obviously tried to keep it as same as possible, and we quickly realized that was not going to happen. And we've modified from not only how we are delivering, of course, it's virtual, but then how much time we are spending with a client. We thought we'd be able to pull some things off that we certainly can't, but the times have shortened, but also the frequency of our meeting with our clients has actually increased. We have found that being in one place here in Minneapolis has allowed us the opportunity to meet more frequently with our clients, which has allowed us not only to engage them with that frequency, but also to retain the knowledge that we are receiving from who those people are and the context. We have grown deeper into that cultural awareness because of that modification of our services. Because some of the things that we're doing, of course, we're having to respond really, really fast, where maybe 2 years ago, we could have had 3 to 4 months to create something. Now we might have 3 to 4 weeks to create something. So our content has also modified because we've had to be more aware of how much time we actually use to present something before we throw people into a breakout room. If we were in person, maybe we could get away with talking 10 or 12 minutes to a group because of how, you know, entertaining we are when we're live. but now it's like 3 to 5 minutes is like our limit before we really believe that people need to be talking again with themselves.
And people are really studying, you know, the Zoom fatigue and other components like that. And I think we have done a lot of things to help navigate that. And I think part of it is we take the breaks. We're putting them in breakout rooms. We are calling on people, just like the Hollywood Squares. We're just naming them. We're about, please come off mute. Here we go. And we have been very mindful of when people are tuning out or when they just cannot look at the screen. They cannot see their face anymore. And what we find, though, is when people relax into it and almost imagine that it's this virtual reality and not just TV, there's this sense of, okay, yep, we're connecting. And I think that kind of moves to the things that we're learning. We are learning so much. That's part of the other adaptation. We've learned so much in this past year, and our data is showing that the language of strengths and the shared experience is actually helping people get and stay connected through these really disconnected times.
We have learned that people are almost longing for a distraction of how they can communicate with each other to form that more personal connection. And by distraction, I mean, you know, there's obviously the pressure to get business done. The deadlines are still there. There's the distraction of, you know, COVID and media and news. And so when we step in, and you know, this may sound somewhat cliche, but when we step in and begin to talk to people about what is good and right about them as individuals, people pay attention in a much different way than they would if you were talking about what the quarterly objectives are for sales. Now, I'm not diminishing that, obviously, but the language of strengths is so uniquely positioned to focus this on something that's positive about individuals. And I think that is just so refreshing. And we've learned over and over again that instead of us like trying to really extend our reach with trying to innovate in some new areas of what we're offering, we have found this need to really dig deeper into how to personalize this experience so that it's more personal, it's more emotional, it's more socially connecting than it ever has been before. And we've really learned to be more patient with that process because we really believe that part of what we are about is about creating those relational connections with people. And if that's really rooted in positive, it's going to be more, not just memorable, but it'll create a greater sense of openness so that others can feel like they really belong, that they belong with each other and they belong with the purpose that they're engaged in on their teams.
So what we learned was that people are more engaged if they're kind of in control of their learning.
One of the things that we have also learned is how to pay attention differently during our one-to-one conversations. Mm-hmm. We have come to really expect people to kind of stay in a few lanes in the one-to-one conversations, talking about their family and their experiences, et cetera. But what we've really learned is that one-to-one conversation can be a safe place where people can really talk about what they've been struggling with in the past 12 to 18 months. We become people that others can confide into sometimes, really share how it is that they're struggling and how it's affecting them in the workplace. So we have learned to really maybe open our arms a little broader than we have before to create some room for that level of communication.
Because people actually use the words, I feel disconnected from my colleagues, disconnected from my family, disconnected from just staring at a screen and missing the physical presence of people. And so as we have learned that, we are trying to then kind of answer that call or provide that connection. And usually what happens is, you know, it's the end of the session and we're asking people for, you know, noticing the things that have stood out to them. And people will say and have said, I feel so much more connected and I can't wait to get back into the office, even if it's just part-time. I want to see your faces. And there's a something that is stirring the connection and stirring the engagement. The other thing is that we, in this whole adaptation piece, is that we are busy. We have been so busy. I haven't added up the Zoom hours because I think that might
be depressing.
Yeah, I might lose my mind in that. But we look back at the entire year when we decided, all right, let's turn our dining room table into into our Zoom studio, podcast studio. Thankfully, we're able to move locations to our lower level. But over the course of 11 months, we've had 137 days of training and development and engagements and meetings where we're actually, you know, conducting the work. The rest of the time is preparing. We had a vacation here and there, which is just more of 2020 kind of.
And those days of engagement, that could have been, you know, maybe we're with one client, but most often that is us working with two or three different clients mm-hmm. in the period of one day, or we have a group in the morning, we're coaching someone in the afternoon. So there is a variety in there, but still, it's just when you look at what the year has provided.
Which was interesting because we have a client on the East Coast, another client on the West Coast, and then we have clients just right in the Central Standard Time. And so every once in a while, I just have to pause and think, okay.
Where are they?
What time is it there? So even in the chat box, I'll say, hey, come back at 20 minutes past the hour instead of the actual time because I can't always do the math. So at all this work that we have done over the last year, all the things that we've learned, the ways that we've modified, the ways that we have not just been bad but busy, we have noticed this, that you can still connect.
That's probably my biggest memory of this past year, is how meaningful connection can actually happen within this virtual space. I've been surprised and emotionally moved again and again by how people have put themselves in places of vulnerability when they're working through like this glass that we have to work with every single day. And that surprises me. And I think that when you think about this for your personal life, it's also opening yourself up to being available emotionally on a platform or in a way that we're not used to, that we're not accustomed to, because what we found is it can happen.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, to all the listeners, embrace the platforms that you're given. You know, I remember as a young child, when I lived in Asia for a year with my family, and we waited for 2 months to have a phone call with my grandmother back in the United States. And I thought, you know, that was just like the best time on the phone. And now, you know, I fast forward to this pandemic, this crazy wild year, and I would want to say this. I would want to say, embrace the platform that was given to you. Feel like you can step in. You know, Brian said he was emotionally moved. I mean, there was one time where I had to call a break because everyone in their little square was emotional. And I knew that, well, and it happened to all be women except for Brian. And I was like, all right, time out. We are taking a 15-minute break because I need to fix my mascara. It was emotional and it was such a gift. And one of those things was just resting into, yep, this is not my preference, but I can still show up for somebody else. I can still step in and learn something new about someone. I can step in and learn something new about myself. And so as we embrace the different opportunities to connect virtually or on the phone, don't hesitate to take advantage of that.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. If you found value from this episode, we'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and a host of others. Please share this podcast and our other resources with anyone you think would benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to individual, team, and organizational development.
I'm Brian Shubring.
And I'm Linda Shubring.
And on behalf of our entire team,
thanks for listening.
You do it better when you're not messing with Nathan.